The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, to recite durood upon me will be light on the bridge of Sirat, and anyone who recites 80 times durood upon me on Friday, his sins of 80 years will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The viewers of Madrin channel, a pious person wanted to wash his hands. He went to a basin and then he stopped there for a while waiting for something. His disciples come forward and ask him, Hazrat, you came here to wash your hands, but we are observing that you are just standing here and waiting for something. That pious person, he replied that there are some ants inside the basin, and I know that if I wash my hands, water will take them away and they will die. The viewers of Madni channel, you know who is that personality? It is Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatuh Mulaliya. Atal Allah Umrahu, may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal grant him long life with health. It shows the compassionate nature of founder of Dawat Islami, and it also shows that how careful he is regarding the rights of creation. The viewers of Madri channel, it is one of the characteristics of our pious predecessors that their hearts are soft and full of softness and full of love for other people and the creation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is stated in the biography of Hazrat Abu Bakr Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, after his demise, he was seen in the dream and he was saying to that person who was dreaming that, you know, for what reason I was forgiven? When that person asked what was the reason that you were forgiven, he said that I was in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal asked me that, O Abu Bakr, you know what is the reason that I have forgiven you? Hazrat Abu Bakr Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh said that I started counting all those actions which I was thinking might have become a means for my forgiveness. But Allah Azza wa Jal said that you were not forgiven because of any of these actions. I said then, O Allah Azza wa Jal, what was the reason that you forgave me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, O Abu Bakr, one day you were passing through a street of Baghdad, and on your way you saw a kitten trembling out of cold. Out of mercy, you took that kitten inside your jubba for saving that kitten from the cold, because you were compassionate towards that kitten. That's why I am also having mercy upon you and I am forgiving you. The viewers of Madni channel, this beautiful incident shows that sometimes someone is forgiven just because of having mercy or having compassion in his heart for other creations. We must be very kind and soft, not only towards animals but also towards human beings as well. And one of the way of showing our kindness is that we should not make fun of others. What happens, especially youth, that when they are sitting together, they make one of them target and all of them start making fun of that person. According to Quran, Ya ayyuhalladheena amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. O believers, do not make fun of each other, because it is possible that those who are being made fun of might be better than others who are making fun of them. As we are discussing, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Muasharat, our relationships with other members of our society and especially the fellow Muslims, let's start our program with the first question. Mufti Sahab, we were discussing the same matter, making fun of others. So there are some people, they are called comedians. So it is their profession that they come and they make a program or drama or whatever, on a stage they perform and they make fun of each other. So making fun of each other just to entertain others, is it allowed, number one? Number two, what is the commandment regarding those people who come, sit and watch these type of stage dramas or these kind of shows on theater?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Making fun of other people mostly lead a person towards many sins, whether that is being exercised in at our homes or in our streets or in any kind of dramas. So mostly, there are many other sins as well, but mostly three sins are committed in these kind of programs. The first is to hurt other people. The second is to abuse other people. And the third is to speak the evil words and vulgar words. And every of these three things is haram. To tease other people, to harm other people, to hurt other people, that is haram, and we have recited many ayat and ahadith regarding that. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Those people who hurt other, whether those are male or female mu'mineen, so these kind of people are bearing upon them slander and manifest sin. So those people who hurt other people, they bear slander and manifest sin, because hurting other people is a manifest sin. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows. And there is one hadith in which the punishment for these people is mentioned. And what is that? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, those people who hurt other people, they will be inflicted with itching in the hellfire, and they will scratch their bodies until the flesh of their bodies will be removed from their bones. When they will be told, you are being inflicted with this punishment because you are used to hurting other people. So because of hurting other people, they will be inflicted with itching, and then they will face this punishment. So to tease other people, to hurt other people is haram. That is unlawful. Sometimes people think that other people are not feeling, they are not minding that, so happily they bear that and they don't show any resentment against that. But inwardly, they feel that very badly, and they get hurt by that, and they get humiliated in the front of other people. Because when other people are laughing upon someone, so though he can't show his resentment that time, but he must feel resentment in his heart, and he will feel something bad in his heart. So that's why to tease other people, to hurt other people is not allowed. The second thing is to abuse other people. So when these people speak and they try to make fun of other people and they try to make the people laugh, so they use abusing words as well. And to abuse other is also haram. And sometimes in their abusing, they speak vulgar words. And using and speaking the vulgar words are not allowed in Islam. That is strictly forbidden. Because Allah Azza wa Jal particularly mentioned regarding vulgar things, though whether those are words or those are actions. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded something. Allah Azza wa Jal commands regarding something, and he forbids from something. What are those? The first thing from which Allah Azza wa Jal is forbidding, that is al-fahsha, that is vulgarity. Allah Azza wa Jal forbids people from vulgarity. And in these dramas and these theater programs and these kind of things, the people use vulgar language. So they are going against that commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And vulgarity is a favorite thing for Shaitan. Because through vulgarity, Shaitan makes people commit many other sins. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Holy Quran, in that ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that Allah commanding people some things and He forbids them from vulgarity. But on the other hand, against that, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned regarding Shaitan, يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ. Shaitan commands you to do vulgar things. To do vulgar things. So it means vulgarity is disliked in the court of Allah. That is despicable things, and that is favorite thing for to Shaitan. So using vulgar words, giving vulgar gestures, that is not allowed. And mostly these kind of programs are full of these three things. So that's why conducting these kind of programs are not allowed. Now the commandment regarding those people who participate or who sit there. So basically they appreciate these people, because when they watch and they come in these kind of programs, when they clap and when they appreciate, when they laugh on that and when they like that, so in through these things they appreciate these kind of activities. So it means these people are endorsing all those activities, and endorsing an unlawful thing is also unlawful, that is also haram. So that's why watching these kind of programs and watching these kind of things is not allowed as well.
Achha, Muftab, we were discussing also وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, meaning do not give the offensive nicknames. So distorting the name is not allowed, we know. I mean giving the offensive nicknames. But my question is that sometimes people, they give such a bad name. It can be, you know, like Shaitan or Khabith, Devil or Khabith. So is it allowed that they are not distorting the name, but they are giving another name? But that is also, you know, in one way or other going to hurt the feeling of that person.
As we know, that kind of act hurts the sentiments of other people. So now distorting the name of other people, whether that is in the form of distorting his particular name or giving him another name, both are not allowed. As particularly in every kind of these two kinds, in every kind of these two kinds, some severe examples, some very severe examples. What are those? For example, when someone distorts the name of other person, so sometimes he distorts his name, and his name is not a sacred name. His name as an ordinary name. So if someone is distorting his name, so then it would be hurt that person, but there wouldn't be any other harm. But sometimes when people distort the name of other people, they distort that name which is containing of the name of Allah or the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the intensity of that distortion gets very severe. As for example, the name of one person is Abdul Rahman. Now if someone distorts his name, so he wouldn't distort the word Abd. He will distort the word Ar-Rahman, and Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. So now this person is not only distorting the name of that person, he is distorting the name of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. And apparently that is kufr. Apparently that is kufr, because the person is distorting the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, but because that is not their intention to do. To distort the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is not their intention. So that's why Fuqaha Kiram hasn't given any fatwa against these people in the matter of infidelity. But because the matter is very severe, if a Muslim, being a Muslim, thinks about that, so he would be able to understand the intensity of the danger of that distortion of the name of other people. So distorting the name with the changing the words of that name, that is another thing. Now giving some offensive name to someone, as calling someone with the word of Shaitan, with the word of Khabith, so all these kind of words are not allowed. For example, to call someone with the name of Shaitan is very severe. Because Shaitan is kafir, Shaitan is the enemy of Allah. So when someone calls other person as with the name of Shaitan, so it means he is using all those words for that person as well. So that's why it is very dangerous and it is unlawful. Then the second thing is the word khabith. Particularly from the word khabith, that has been forbidden in one hadith. One person said regarding his own self, as my nafs has become khabith. So then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade him from that. Why? Because every Muslim is a Muslim, and because he is a Muslim, he has the name of Allah, he has the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal in his heart. So that's why declaring one person, even his own self, or declaring other people as khabith is not allowed. And the third word is the word kafir. That is the worst word which can be used for a Muslim. Why? Because in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned one word, and that is less intense than the word kafir. What is that? Fasik. The word fasik is less than the word kafir. Okay? So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned regarding word fasik in the same ayah, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الِاسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. Now the word fusuq is used here, means if you declare any person as fasik, if you call any person with the word of fasik, that would be very disliked act in the court of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. That's why Allah Subhanahu wa Taala bi'sa lismul fusuq. It is very severe thing. It is very wrong thing. It is evil. So when calling someone with the word fasik is not allowed. So what would be the commandment regarding using the word kafir for a Muslim? And there are some ahadith regarding this word to use for a Muslim, to speak for a Muslim. What is that? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the summary of that hadith is, the one who calls other Muslim as kafir, he says to him, O kafir, O infidel, either this person is kafir or that person would be kafir. So when that person is Muslim and he is not kafir, so then it means this person is kafir. Now that verdict will fall upon either of these two people. Either this person is kafir or that person is kafir. The apparent meaning of that hadith is, if a person declares other Muslim as kafir without any Sharia reason, this person would be kafir. The declaring one would be kafir rather than the declared one. So in the light of this hadith, many scholars have written the same thing. If someone calls other person as kafir without any Sharia reason, so now this person would be kafir. Though the fatwa based on research is that if this person is considering other people as a kafir without reason, then this person would be kafir. Otherwise, it would be considered as one kind of abuse, as one kind of hurting someone. So in that way, it would be one sin. It would be one major sin. But for knowing the intensity of this action, how severe is this act to declare a person as kafir? So that's why declaring other people as madallah fasik or kafir or shaitan or khabir or any other word which is extremely disliked
Ji.
To other people,
Ji.
That is not Allah.
Mustafa, another thing which has connection with this as well, that some women, especially the mothers, you know, when they are fed up with their children, so the very first thing which they say, they pronounce lanat upon you, O Lanti, or in Punjabi, meaning Lakhdi Lanat. So all these things, what is the commandment of Sharia regarding these kind of phrases in which someone is cursing directly someone or something?
Casting curse upon someone is not allowed. And that is not the attribute of a mumin. In one hadith, it is particularly mentioned, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَى اللَّعَانِ وَلَى الْفَاحِشِ وَلَى الْبَذِيشِ. Mean, that is not the attribute of a Muslim to hurt other people, to abuse other people, to use the vulgar words for other people, and particularly the word لَعَان. They don't cast curse upon other people. that is not the attribute of a Muslim, and that casting curse upon other people, that is unlawful, and that is a major sin.
That is a major sin.
We are not allowed to curse upon even on kafir. We are not allowed to cast curse upon a kafir.
Particular kafir.
Only on the attribute of kafir, that curse upon kafir, that is allowed. But one person is kafir, for example, with the name of Zaid or with the name of Khalid, that person is not Muslim. So now casting curse upon that person, though that person is kafir, that is not allowed. So casting curse upon Muslims, and particularly children, upon children who are our own children, and they are not sinner, so that is strictly forbidden, that is not allowed.
We discussed a verse that Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kaseeran minal dhann, meaning to suspect others, to have negative feelings, negative thoughts, wrong opinions about others. It has become part and parcel of our society, especially as we know the relationship between husband and wife is very weak. Sometimes, because of some reasons, husband starts suspecting his wife, and sometimes wife also have some sort of suspicion in her heart about her husband. So sometimes people, they reach to talaq, they are so tired of each other and fed up with each other that they want to break the marriage bond. So my question is that if someone is caught up by this suspicion, so how can we take him out of that suspicion, and how can we make his mind that this is not the right way of thinking? Just because of suspicion you are going to break the marriage.
Basically, the matter you are discussing, the husband and wife, they have doubts regarding each other. So I think in one way that is a natural matter, because they have special relations with each other. So that's why they can't have any kind of control over their sentiments when they find any kind of suspicion things in each other. But because they have to run their life, and they can't bear the loss of damaging their life, because when they start suspecting each other, so then they start damaging their life as well. And so in this life and in the life of hereafter, they destroy in that way. Because when one of them has suspicions regarding his spouse, so what will happen? All the time they will quarrel with each other, they will argue with each other, they don't be pleased with each other. So that's why it is very harming thing even in this life. And that is the commandment of Sharia as well, to control our sentiments until we have any valid evidence for that, then we can take any decision. Otherwise we should be very careful regarding these matters. Sometimes using one word destroys the whole life. Once husband speaks one word against the honor of his wife, and that one word destroys his whole life, and sometimes happens opposite to it. So that's why it is very sensitive matter to be careful. And it is the favorite dispute of shaitan, particularly between husband and wife. Every dispute is very is liked by shaitan, but particularly that kind of dispute between husband and wife. Why? Because through that shaitan damages the whole society, because the first unit of society starts from husband and wife. Through that the family takes place, the family comes into existence, then the whole society run on that. So when shaitan cut the bond between husband and wife through these kind of suspicions and doubts, so he starts damaging the whole society, because cutting or severing the ties between husband and wife is the root cause of many sins. As first of all, backbiting would start. The second thing is the base of that backbiting and sins means negative opinion. So he cultivates negative opinion in his mind regarding his spouse. And the third thing is that he will try to hurt the sentiments of his spouse. Because when one person gets resentment from his spouse, so then he doesn't please her. Then he starts harming him, teasing him, hurting him in every way he tries to do that. And then he doesn't fulfill the rights of his spouse as well. Because when he is mentally very away from his wife, so then he doesn't fulfill the rights of his wife. So through that shaitan make them commit many sins. That's why it is very sensitive and it is very important matter to think about. And when any kind of suspicion comes to the mind of any of these two, they must learn the commandment of Sharia. They must think about the commandment of Sharia, and they must think the consequences of those suspicions, because it will definitely damage this life as well as the life of hereafter.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, marriage bond is very sensitive, and especially suspicion is one of the most fatal things for our marriage bond. And Shaitan also likes this thing, as Mufti Sahib has already mentioned, that Shaitan loves to put some sort of dispute between spouses. This dispute, first of all, breaks the marriage, and then because of this, both of them go to different directions. And in order to fulfill their physical demands, they go towards wrong actions and wrong things. You know, Shaitan comes from different angles, from different sides to destroy the marriage. For example, sometimes Shaitan comes in the dream of husband and he shows him that your wife is involved, is having an illicit relation with someone else. So in this way, when he gets up and he, you know, meaning recalls that dream, then he really thinks that, he thinks for sure that there is something between my wife and that other person, and in this way he starts having some sort of doubt and it develops suspicion, and at the end what happens, that he divorces her. And same thing happens with the wife as well. So if any of you is victim of this kind of satanic dreams, please cast them off your head. Don't think about that. That is just dream from Shaitan, and he wants to destroy your marriage and he wants to destroy your life as well. Coming to the next question, Mutsab, another thing, wala tajassasu, that don't spy others, don't look for faults of others. So okay, it is understandable, but what about those people who have been, you know, hired only for this thing? For example, policemen and other people who are on the duty to investigate the matters of different kind of matters. So what is the commandment of Sharia regarding these kind of people who are only hired for spying and looking for the faults of others?
No, it depends upon situations.
Yes.
It varies situation to situation.
Yes.
As far as the matter of agencies and police is concerned, so because they do that work, if they look for the faults of other people, so they do that for the safeguarding of the country. That is allowed because that is their duty, and the benefits of that activity is more than the harms of their searching the faults of other people. But on the personal basis,
mm-hmm.
to search for the faults of other people, as common people do,
mm-hmm.
as one neighbor tries to search for the faults of his neighbor,
mm-hmm.
that is not allowed and that is forbidden. For these people, the commandment of Sharia is very clear, as the ayah what you have recited, wala tajassasu, don't spy, don't look for the faults of other people. And there is one hadith, we have been commanded to cover the faults of other people, though accidentally we get aware of that, but commandment of Sharia would be for us to cover that faults of the people from other people. As there is one hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, man satara musliman satarahu Allah yawm al-qiyamah,
subhanallah,
who will cover
Jee.
The faults of his fellow Muslim, Almighty Allah will cover the faults of this person on the day of judgment. And when Allah Azza wa Jal will cover the fault of this person on the day of judgment, it means Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive the faults of this person. So that's why we have been commanded to cover the faults of other people, not to expose the faults of others, and that is extremely forbidden. As there is one hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever exposes the faults of other people, Allah Azza wa Jalla will expose the fault of this person, though that person is at his home. So even he is at home, Allah Azza wa Jalla will expose the fault of this person. So that's why we must be very careful regarding that. What is the matter of agencies or police or other people, that is something else. But we should be careful regarding our own activities and our own act. What we do in our life, what is our behavior with our relatives, with our neighbors, with our colleagues, and with the people of society. Because mostly those kind of things, searching the faults of other people, it happens in our society among common people. One neighbor is against his neighbor. If there is any kind of dispute among some relatives, so this relative will try to find out the faults of that person, and then this relative will expose the faults of his relative in front of other people. That kind of things are very common in our society, and that must be avoided, because that is major sin. So this is what we are discussing. Otherwise, the matter of those agencies, that is not our topic to discuss.
The viewers of Madani channel, do not publicize the faults of others. As Mufti Sahab Damat Barakatuhul Aliya has mentioned a beautiful hadith in which our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that anyone who tries to publicize the faults of others, Allah Azza wa Jal will also expose his faults, and Allah Azza wa Jal will disgrace him, although he hides himself inside his home. There are many people, it has become their habit that they are looking and picking the faults of others. Then they become microphone for entire society, and they go to different places. Wherever they go, they sit and they start, you know, telling the faults of, you know, a particular person. And in this way, they are spreading a cancer, let me say it, cancer. They are backbiting, and they are promoting the cancer in our society, which is going to destroy and eat up the relationships and then the entire society as well. So dear viewers of Madani channel, please avoid backbiting, and please avoid looking for faults of others, and do not publicize if you have come to know about the faults of others. As long as it is possible, try to cover the faults of others. Through the barakah of Dawat-e-Islami, as Ameel-e-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhul Aliya, he speaks a lot against backbiting, and then war against backbiting will also continue. There is a particular book, Ghibat Ki Tabahkari and Destruction of Ghibat. Ghibat is cancer. So people who are, you know, connected with our environment, or other people who are, you know, religious people, they have habit of learning and reading. So they know the harms of backbiting, they know the torment of backbiting as well, commandment regarding backbiting, but still, in spite of having this much knowledge, they are unable to control themselves. So what is the reason that people know that this thing is not allowed, but still they are committing this thing? So how can, you know, people save themselves from this habit of backbiting?
Basically, knowledge itself is not sufficient for becoming a practicing Muslim. Practice is something else, and knowledge is something else. When a person is knowledgeable, so now it would be his responsibility to follow, to act upon that. And the best motivational power for abstaining from sins and for doing good deeds is the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. When a person has fear of Allah, then he would think about abstaining from sins and doing good deeds. Otherwise, if the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal is not in the heart of a person, so whether he is a scholar, he is a knowledgeable person, or he is affiliated with any good environment and he is affiliated with a sheikh, a teacher, so he wouldn't become a practicing Muslim. So the main motivational power is the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now those people who have knowledge and they are not practicing, they don't practice accordingly, so what should they do? First of all, they need ponderance and contemplation, because that is very important. we continually read, study, and study. But we don't think about our actions, about our character, about our conduct. How is that? Is that according to our knowledge? Is that according to our study and reading, what we read on daily basis? So are we practicing according to that? So there is a lack and there is a gap between our knowledge and our practice. So first of all, when we read something, we must contemplate upon our character and our practice as well. When we read in that way, so as our knowledge increases, our practice will increase as well. That is the first thing. The second is particularly regarding the harms of our tongue, in which way we use that, in what we speak and what we do. So for that purpose, I think if someone reads the harms of tongue, what kind of sins could be committed by tongue, and then he try to find out those faults and those sins in his own character, so then he would be a little bit careful about that. Then it would be upon him try to practice according to that. Why? Because when a person reads the warnings of a sin, so though in beginning he doesn't be fearful, but after a time, after a few months, after a reading, when with consideration and contemplation he did something, so I think it wouldn't be the act of a Muslim that he reads a lot, but he doesn't act upon even at the minute level. He must act upon according to that, but it needs a little bit ponderance and contemplation. So I think that is the way to become a practicing Muslim. Otherwise, just having knowledge mostly, that is not enough. Knowledge with consideration, with contemplation, that proves fruitful and useful and beneficial.
Mufti Sahib, I have personally observed there are many people, they are not very knowledgeable, well educated, but I mean their character is very good, either because of sitting in the company of some sheikh or because of having company of ulama, so their character is very good. On the other hand, there are many people, they are very well educated and they are considered to be very knowledgeable, but character wise they are very weak. They are totally opposite to the first category. So what is the reason that one, just because of having good company without knowledge, is very good in his character, but other one, in spite of having lot of knowledge, he is not a practicing or a person of, you know, upright character?
I think this is a specific topic to discuss. Why? Because sometimes we have some misconceptions regarding the meaning of practices. Sometimes we consider a person as a practicing Muslim. Why? Because he offers nafal prayer, he observes nafal fasting, and he remains immersed in remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the recitation of the Holy Quran. And on the other hand, the other person who is knowledgeable or who is scholar, he doesn't offer nafal prayer, he doesn't recite the Holy Quran a lot, he doesn't do the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal a lot, but he remains busy in studying, in making research, in seeking for more knowledge. So he remains in that. Now in the point view of common people, the first person who is not knowledgeable person, he is very practicing Muslim and he is a pious and he is muttaqi and he is mashallah very good Muslim, and this scholar and this knowledgeable person is not practicing because he has lack of recitation of the Quran or he is lack of some other worships. So now there is a misconception in the minds of people, because they don't have proper knowledge. What is the meaning of practice? Learning knowledge is one of the best worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. The person who is learning knowledge and he is spreading that knowledge, he is conveying that knowledge to other people, he is much more better than those people who are busy only in offering or in doing worships. So the knowledgeable person is much more better than the first people, those worshippers. As there are many ahadith, فقيه واحد اشد على الشيطان من الف عابد. One Islamic scholar is harder for shaitan than 1,000 worshipper. So this knowledgeable person is very light person in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, rather than that person. That is the first part of the question. But I think that was not the meaning of your question, but only I interpreted those questions. Inshallah, we will discuss this matter in detail. Now, what you meant by your question, knowledgeable people are not so much practicing, but less knowledgeable people, sometimes they are practicing. So I would say, keep in your mind that the knowledge and practice are not synonym of each other. Practice is something else, knowledge is something else. When a person is learning knowledge, it doesn't mean he is becoming a practicing person as well. Because practicing comes after knowledge. Knowledge is followed by practice. But it is upon a person whether he acts upon according to his knowledge or not. So sometimes people read, but because reading is not sufficient for making a person practicing. And good company, as you mentioned, one of the reasons of making people practicing, so good company is more effective than reading. The effects and the influence of a pious person is much more better and much more effective than the impact of reading and studying a book. So basically, in early days, when Sahaba Ikram and Tabi'in, they used to learn knowledge. So what was their habit? I memorized one of the saying of one Sahabi, I think. He said, we used to learn knowledge and practice at the same time. It was not our habit to learn only knowledge, excluding practice. Our habit was to learn both of practice and knowledge. And then he gave example. When we learned 10 ayah of the Holy Quran, 10 verses of the Holy Quran, first we acted upon those. Then we completed our practicing according to those ayah. Then we learned new 10 verses. Then we acted upon those 10 ayahs. Then we learned the next 10 ayah. That was the tradition in Sahaba Ikram, and they learned knowledge and practice at the same time. But in our age and the later ages of Muslims, so they separated practice from knowledge. Those people who got busy in learning knowledge, so they remained busy in learning knowledge only, and they left practicing according to that. And that's why we are observing what we are observing nowadays. So when a common person learns something, he starts acting upon that commandment. And he doesn't care learning more, because his motive is only to act upon the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he is not keen for learning more knowledge. He is keen only for practices, for offering prayer, for recitation, for worships. So that's why sometimes we observe that these kind of people are more practicing and knowledgeable people are sometimes less practicing people.
Jazakallah khaira. The viewers of Madri channel, ilm is indeed decoration, and decorate yourselves with this, but at the same time it is also necessary to have practice upon that knowledge. Otherwise, knowledge without practice can become hujjat on the day of judgment upon you.
One thing is, I want to add one thing here, and inshallah we will discuss inshallah in next episode. Sometimes practice without knowledge proves very harmful. Because the people practice, mashallah, they offer prayer, but when they do without knowledge, so those practice are not valid according to commandments of Sharia, according to commandments of Quran. So that is another aspect of knowledge and practice. So inshallah, we will discuss this matter in next episode.
The viewers of Madhi channel, inshallah, we will come with next topic in next episode. Until then, I seek permission from you and hope that you will be making dua for us. May Almighty Allah Azzal make us practicing Muslim. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge